something. It's very nice here that everybody so enthusiastically raises their hands in the chanting. Prabhupada, in his dancing, he always raised his hands and danced. And Chaitanya Bhagavat says that when devotees dance, they sanctify the earth. And when they raise their hands, when the devotees raise their hands when they're dancing and chanting, they remove inauspiciousness from the heavenly planets. What to speak of attracting Krishna or anyone who sees you. I see here it's also very, of course, we see so many new faces, and there's always new personalities on the altar. Of course, first I notice the new trees, then I notice the gopis, and all the gold paint. So that is, we should always be trying to do more and more and more for Krishna. This is a spiritual life is dynamic. It's ecstatic, Prabhupada said, not static. Not that we just sit down and be satisfied, but ecstatic. Always moving. Always trying to do more. Always trying to chant more, bring more people. So we see everywhere we go, these things are happening. I just came from Mayapur, so I'm a little rushed. We were 7 days walking in the Gaur Mandala, or the Navadvip Mandala Parikrama. Then I came back and they wanted me to go to Ekachakra, so we went on a 5 hours bus ride to Ekachakra and came back at 9:30 at night. And then one day of chaos and then coming here. But that's what we're here for, is to be absorbed in Krishna. This is the Gaur Purnima, most auspicious time. The appearance of Lord Chaitanya is very rare. Not every Kali Yuga has this same Lord Chaitanya like we have. This non-different from Krishna and introducing this Sankirtan movement, which is a great benediction for the earth and actually for the whole universe. Prabhupada says it will spread, or Lord Chaitanya said it will spread all over the universe. Prabhupada wrote then, how can we think that it can spread all over the universe? But he said, just like at that time was 10 years when he wrote that purport, he said, just like in 10 years it spread all over the earth, so in the same way it was spread all over the universe. Many different ways that it can happen. The demigods come and join the Sankirtan movement. They can see us. They have the power to look down and see us. We don't see them. They also come and join. They take birth. They come and participate. And when devotees leave this world, who knows where they're going to, Krishna can send them any other planet to go on with the Sankirtan mission. Ecstatic chanting and dancing of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Gauranga. All right. So, we hear so much. We were just going around Navadvip with about 1,200 devotees international, and another party was almost 2,000 devotees. The Bengali Namahatta party and two parties going, following, and constant kirtan and visiting all the holy places of Lord Chaitanya's Leela, at least his Leela in Navadvip. And they're always finding more places. In Navadvip is just like Vrindavan, so all the holy places are there. Naimisharanya is there, Kug Chaitra is there, everything is there, Pushkar. So we don't have to go everywhere, except if we're preaching, then we go everywhere. And we take many devotees and we go to all these places and purify them and attract more and more people to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip, he kindly gave his darshan to all the four Sampradaya Acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, and who's the other one? Vishnu Swami. So that was before his appearance, but when they went to Navadvip and they were doing their meditation and on Krishna, Lord Chaitanya appeared, revealed himself, and told them about his future coming, but he told them not to tell anybody. It's a secret. So they went on with their whatever they are, Vishishta Dvaita, 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 Dvaita. But they were always absorbed in thinking of Lord Chaitanya. They knew about him. They're waiting for him to come. Even Shankaracharya came to Navadvip, but Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and said, "Don't come here." That these people are nice devotees and they don't need your Mayavadi philosophy here. So Shankaracharya didn't go there. Although Lord Shiva is there also, and Kashi is there, and all the pastimes of everyone is there. Nimbarkacharya, he appeared there. He was a brahmana named Nimbaditcha. And there was a group of brahmanas, they were worshipping Lord Shiva very nicely. And he was especially worshipping very nicely. So Lord Shiva appeared to him. And he told him to go in the forest and he would find four young boys, young brahmacharis and brahmanas, and they would teach him. So he went in the forest and he found the four kumaras. That was in Belkapur, that's quite close to Mayapur. And they taught him about Radha and Krishna. Started worshipping Radha and Krishna. And he was very intensely, you know, worshipping Radha and Krishna. And suddenly they actually appeared to him, living Radha and Krishna, extremely effulgent. And he was overwhelmed in ecstasy, and he probably fainted. And then he looked up and they become one golden. Gauranga! Gauranga! Then he was even more overwhelmed in ecstasy. And the same thing, Gauranga told him, you know, he'll be coming in the future, but don't tell anybody. So he also he became Nimbarkacharya, the Acharya of the Kumar Sampradaya. Lord Chaitanya took from the different Sampradayas, from the Kumar Sampradaya, he took worship of Radharani and the mood of the gopis worship, you know, and from Madhvacharya he took defeating the Mayavadis and deity worship, and I don't get it straight, Ramanuja, I think service to the devotees, and from the Shiva Sampradaya other things. So he took from each of those Sampradayas essential points and he perfected everything with the Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Simultaneously, inconceivably one and different. This is very important. Lord Chaitanya taught that. Krishna taught that also. Mayatatam Nidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtinam Matstani Sarva Bhutani Nachaham Teshu Vastata. That I'm in everything and everything is me, and but I'm not. Krishna's not burdened by any of those things. He remains completely aloof. He's simultaneously in and out and not in and not out. So it's very hard for the materialists to understand Krishna. The scientists, they don't like that. They want everything to be measured and defined, right? So they don't like to, you know, they can't even talk about the mind, even some of them, the really materialistic ones. What to speak of the soul and what to speak of Krishna. There's the biggest and the smallest and the oldest and the youngest, and you know, everything. But devotees, the devotees are worshiping Krishna in personal relationships, love and ecstasy. Krishna kindly comes and, you know, he gives us opportunity to approach him. Especially in this age, the deity and the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Especially in the holy name, anyone can approach the Lord. Rupa Goswami was saying, I've offended the form of the Lord, you know, so therefore I'm in the material world, but the holy name is so kind, so merciful, that anyone can chant the holy name. The foolish brahmanas, like we went to Chan Kazi, Samadhi, and so the brahmanas were telling the Kazi that this Nimai is bogus. He's invented it's not real Hinduism. He's disturbing the Lord by loud chanting. And that he's letting low-class people chant the holy name, and then the holy name will become contaminated. So they don't know much about Krishna, right? What is it? Apapa Vidam. Krishna is prophylactic and antiseptic, according to the Isha Upanishad, that whatever Krishna contacts, Krishna becomes purified. Even the most impure thing will become purified, and nothing can contaminate Krishna. Doctors know about this, right? You have to keep the hospital clean, and the doctors have to protect themselves so they don't become contaminated, so they can deal with all diseased conditions without becoming sick themselves, if they know it. But Krishna, nothing can contaminate. So they're so foolish. They're thinking that the holy name of Krishna can become contaminated. So they were complaining to the Kazi that this loud chanting is a concoction and that Nimai should be stopped. They complained in many ways, actually. The Muslims were complaining. But the Kazi thought, well, of course Muslims complain. So he didn't take it very seriously. They were saying that these Hindus, they have names of Krishna, you know, and we have to work with them. And so we have to call, hey Rama, you know, hey Lakshman, and then we have to chant these names of Krishna, and we don't want to do that. They were complaining, all kinds of things like that. I met one Muslim once in Fiji, and he was very kind. He taught me their mantra, La La Ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah. And he was very surprised that I could immediately learn that. I said, well, I'm always chanting the name of God, so it's very easy. You know? He said, no, only it's so hard to. Yeah. But so he said, yeah, I know Krishna. He's washing cars for me over there. And I know Rama. He's doing this because he had a big junkyard or something. So that was his idea of Krishna and Rama. But still, he was fortunate. He's chanting the name of Krishna. Krishna is very kind like that. So the Kazi, when the Hindus complained, then he thought, you know, might be something to it. So he went to stop the kirtan, and everybody knows that story. And he told the devotees, you know, don't chant anymore. If you do again, you know, he broke the mridanga. Then he said, I'm going to kill you. And the devotees were worried. But Nimai said, don't worry, you should go on more. And he made that civil disobedience. And he marched on the Kazi's house and the huge kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya himself went out the first time. They'd been having all these nocturnal kirtans, chanting all night in Srivas's house. And then the devotees started going out, but Nimai himself wasn't going out. But this time he went out. And he got everybody from all sides, 100,000 people coming with torches and chanting. You couldn't hear anything except the holy name and all of Navadvipa and maybe cartels, mridangas. And they all converged on the Kazi's house and scared him. He was very much, they were very angry. Lord Chaitanya was angry. He was saying, I'm going to kill all the meat eaters. And they were trampling all the Kazi's gardens and burning things. And Kazi was hiding inside. He wouldn't come out. And Nimai told him, come out, come out. And he said, no, I won't hurt you. He said, I trust you, but I don't trust your friends. They're so angry. But then he convinced him, he came out. And this, of course, we all know this is one of the most famous leelas. But the Kazi, he even admitted that their, you know, religion wasn't really very good, but they're just following it like traditionally. And Lord Chaitanya preached to him, you know, what kind of religion is kill your mother? And challenged him in many ways. And then he admitted that after he broke the mridanga, he had a very serious dream. And this half man, half lion came, and he was sitting on him, and he was very angry. And he said, you broke the mridanga. I like mridanga. I'm going to break you in half. And he showed he had scars. So he promised never again, ever, would the Sankirtan in Navadvip be disturbed by the government. And he gave him his symbol. You've seen this thing sometimes we have. It's like this kind of, that was the Kazi's symbol. So if you have that, then the police know you're bona fide. And this way the Sankirtan movement just flourished more and more. Then it really got out into the streets. And Lord Chaitanya was going out himself all over. They went all over Navadvipa, really far away places, you know, from Mayapur. They would go to Amgat, and they would go, you know, everywhere, and just with a huge kirtan early in the morning. Udilo Arana Purva Bhaji, Dvijamani. In the morning when the sun was rising, they would be out with the kirtan and telling the people, wake up. You spend your days. What do they spend their days doing? Huh? Decorating their bodies. Uselessly decorating their bodies. We see so many advertisements, right? Bombay is famous for fashion, I think, Indian fashion, and jewelry, and saris, and when just near here, I saw two big signs for the high-class man, suits, and right? So much endeavor for it. When I was in London in December, the shop I was in front of was selling these weird clothes, and I looked, and that one of his dress was £3,000. Just one stupid dress, you know. The pants were £600. That's a lot of rupees, right? But decorating the body, and how much more for painting the body and then fixing the hairs and the teeth, you know, to get all fake teeth and. Unlimited money they're spending at that. I think cosmetic is one of the biggest businesses in the world, right? And then fashion, everywhere you look, there's a fashion show and shoes, you know, to worship their feet. In that London, the next shop had a, on the shoe shop, and it said, I love shoes, I need shoes, shoes are my life. Thinking, why can't we say that about Krishna? You know, that if we had such intense feelings, you know, that we got to have Krishna, is that these people are mad after shoes. If you've ever been on Sankirtan and there's a woman going in the shoe shop, forget it. You know, the boyfriend sometimes tries to stop, but there's no hope. And never will they stop on for their worshipping their lotus feet. But we want to have these, you know, for Krishna. We decorate the deity very beautifully. They'll think that's foolish. You know, what about yourself? Why don't you decorate your own body? Right? Why do you all look the same? But we have our cosmetic and we have our jewelry, right? But it's quite simple, not very expensive. But by decorating the deity very nicely, by dressing the deity and taking care, then this stupid propensity for decorating our own body is reduced. So it's mercy, special mercy of Krishna to come in that Archa Vigraha, so that, you know, we can approach him and we can dress him and we can bathe him and we can feed him and we can comb his hair and, you know, put makeup. This is special mercy of the Lord to give anyone a chance, because otherwise we can't perceive the spiritual form of the Lord. And then he comes in the holy name. So now we see how the holy name is spreading. In Mayapur, there's devotees. Even here, I guess we have a lot of international, but we don't know how many countries were there in Mayapur, but it's quite difficult to get things done properly on the Parikrama, because there's so many different languages, you know. And even in the morning in Mayapur, you make announcement, but, you know, most of them don't know English, and then they have Russian, but that's only a small group. And so it's, in the kirtan, there's no difficulty. Anyone can come from any country, no matter what language they speak, and they can lead the kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Very powerful here how everyone chants so blissfully. So this international society works like that because of the kirtan. It unites everybody and it attracts anyone in the world. You know, we were doing Harinam in Athens. Athens, Greece is one of the better places for Harinam Sankirtan that I've ever seen. They have all these walking, shopping, eating streets, you know, and full of tourists from all over the place, and everybody's in a good mood, and it's quiet. You know, so that, this happens almost every time, but one girl was very blissfully dancing, and a boy came up. He said, please tell me what drug you're taking. Because they can't believe that, you know, without drugs, someone can be dancing and singing and smiling and laughing. And, but this, it's a fact. The holy name is the most powerful intoxicant, elevate and relieve anyone of any kind of distress. One time Jai Dwaitamaraj was walking in New York and a policeman pulled up and they said, what do you have to do to be a Hare Krishna? He said, you have to give up suffering. And they said, well, that sounds good. And they went to the temple and bought books. I said, you know, because they're thinking you have to give up so much to be a Hare Krishna, right? But what do you have to give up? It's the sources of misery. Practically all the problems in the world due to intoxication and gambling and illicit sex, and animal slaughter, they're realizing, at least more and more people are realizing the environmental, you know, effects of animal slaughter and the health. You know, they're not fully aware, but they're getting a little bit idea about the karma. Intoxication, alcoholism, drug addiction, drug selling, and you know, all these wars are going on over that, and so much crime. But they're thinking, oh, how can you live, you know, if you have to give up everything? But we don't give up. You get more because we get Krishna, and then we have that ecstasy. Can join in the Gaur Lila. The Lila of Lord Chaitanya is going on in this movement. The same activities, kirtan, dancing, chanting. What did Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda do? Right? Dancing, chanting. We went to yesterday to Ekachakra. That's the place of Lord Nityananda. But he was only there for the childhood, 10 years or something. And it's a very small village today. And I was reading in somewhere, and when Janavi Devi went there after his disappearance, she was surprised to see it as such a small village. But they told her that after Nityananda's disappearance, everybody left. The place just dried up. It was a pretty big city before, but, you know, like when the Pandavas lived there also, it was a fairly big city. But now it's a little tiny village. But everybody remembers Lord Nityananda. They loved him so much. He was the most popular child in the whole place. But then he left, he traveled all over India. And whenever he danced, Lord Chaitanya would appear. That was one of the places where Lord Chaitanya, wherever Nityananda danced, sometimes he would be manifested and sometimes unmanifested. Sometimes only Nityananda could see him. And but he would be there, like at Panihati, when Nityananda had that big feast by Raghunath Das. Lord Chaitanya came and, you know, he was walking with, but nobody could see him and they couldn't understand what was going on. Nityananda would take some prasad and, you know, put it there and it would disappear. And they were, you know, he was dancing with him. But he didn't reveal himself. Maybe some of the devotees could see. Sometimes they were together. They were both ecstatically dancing. Inconceivably dancing. We've heard so many times. Jumping, you know, up above your head and staying in the air for some time. Falling unconscious. All those places are there in Mayapur, when, you know, Sri Vasangam, where they had those all-night kirtans. Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were dancing. Lord Chaitanya would often fall over backwards in ecstasy. So Lord Nityananda would stay kind of behind him to catch him so he wouldn't get hurt. But sometimes he would jump and fall down so hard. Yesterday we went to Shantipur, the Dwaita's place where there was a huge festival. Lord Chaitanya attended. But many pastimes happened there. When Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya took prasad at Advaita's house after sannyas, Nimai wanted to go to Vrindavan. Nityananda wanted him to come back to Navadvip. So he told all the cowherd boys to misguide him. You know, and he would ask how to go to Vrindavan. They'd say, go this way. And he ended up in Navadvip. He was in ecstasy, the holy name, just chanting, so he wasn't really... And he didn't have, like, a lot of road signs and everything in those days. Didn't have a railroad or, you know, sign that said this way. And he jumped in the Ganga, thought it was Jamuna. Then Advaita pulled him out with a boat. And he said, "How? What are you doing in Vrindavan?" And Advaita, what did he say? Everybody know? Huh? What did he say? "Wherever you are, that's Vrindavan." He was very clever. So he took him home and they made a big feast, and Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were taking prasadam. Advaita was serving. And Lord Chaitanya was the new sannyasi. He was complaining, like we sometimes do. "This is too much. I'm sannyasi." You know, he was asking for boiled vegetables. Vapra vranjana, they call it in Bengal. Just five vegetables boiled, very simple. And Nityananda was also complaining, but he was saying, "I've been fasting and now you're not giving me anything. This is nothing." Even though there was like hundreds of things and rice filling up the entire banana leaf and filled with ghee and so many sabjis and no limit to fill up everything as soon as it was half gone. But Nityananda is complaining, you know, "This is nothing. I need more." And Lord Chaitanya is complaining, "It's too much." But this way they had a very nice, you know, personal relationships. And if we can remember these things and we can I hear them again and again and again. I found a very interesting quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It comes from a book called The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya or something, Lord Chaitanya's Teachings. He was saying that before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, many people read the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he said, actually, no one can understand the Srimad Bhagavatam unless they read Chaitanya Charitamrita first. Because Lord Chaitanya was a perfect preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam and he personified everything in it. Lord Chaitanya came, cause us mercy in Kali Yuga. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanyam Nityananda Sahodito Gododaya Pushpavanto Chitro Samdo Tumonudo. Right? That Gaur, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Nityananda have arisen in the horizon of Gaudiya, just like the sun and the moon together, and to dissipate the dense darkness of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means darkness, tamagun. People cannot see who they are. They see only the maya. They see only the gross material energy. They don't see the soul. They don't see Krishna behind everything. You know, the cause of all causes. They think, you know, everything is running by electricity or something, right? Or oil. You can see if you go to Tokyo, you'll actually see it. It's very hard to think of Krishna there. To really, you know, you just, everything looks like it's going only by electricity. And that's what everybody thinks. It's like the in the fifth canto, there's one chapter, the subterranean heavenly planets. Anybody's read that? So it talks about the people there. It's very opulent. You know what I'm saying? Better than the heavenly planets. But there's no sunlight. There's jewels on the head. They're like serpents, and that lights up everything. And one special feature is there's no talk about God ever. Nobody thinks that they'll die. Everyone's thinking, you know, this is enjoying without any problem. The one time in Japan, I asked some businessmen that were, they were international. I said, what do Japanese people think about God? And he said, it's very sad, but they never think about God. Because they don't have any idea. Buddhism, there's no God. No supreme person, no supreme source, because everything is nothing and nothing. So it comes from nothing and it really is nothing, but somehow you think it's something and they can't explain that, how you can think that. But they've influenced modern science very much, so they also say everything comes from nothing. But you should surrender to us because we'll tell you. So this is a Kali Yuga, very advanced in some places, more than others. India, Kali is being held back much more because people are more pious and religious. And now by the Sankirtan movement, Kali is being pushed away from so many places by the Kirtan of the Holy Name. Wherever that's going on and wherever there's, you know, following the four related principles, then Kali cannot stay there. So we want to keep our place pure and keep our hearts pure and be always chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Lord Chaitanya went to all the towns and villages and he went everywhere with his kirtan. And then he went all over India by himself. And chanted everywhere and amazed everyone by his dancing. He would visit a temple and chant and dance in ecstasy for hours. And everyone who saw him, they would also chant. And they would start dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And then they would go to their village and whoever saw them would start chanting and dancing. And it's still happening. All over the world, devotees see someone chanting and dancing. We see someone, we go out chanting and dancing in all the different towns and villages of the world, and people are attracted. People are joining the Sankirtan movement. China and Japan. One lady, and she's Japanese, she has a web page, And she put very nice pictures of a Harinam we had in Tokyo. And so there was many things she said, how people think they're on drugs but because they're happy. But then she said, the amazing thing about the Hare Krishnas is that they're always smiling, in spite of being in Japan, she said. She's a Japanese that lives in America or something. They get, you know. But not only Japan, but anywhere. The devotees are always blissfully, and people love it. People join. People become attracted in so many ways by seeing the devotees. So we want to be out. We want to show, you know, we want to go everywhere. I was thinking the other day that Indian businessmen are dominating businesses all over the world, right? Many of you might be doing that. They're fearless. They go anywhere, the jungles of Africa, they go to China, they go anywhere where there's money and do business, right? And they're fearless. They deal with anybody, learn the language. But how many Indians are out preaching Krishna consciousness, even though there's so many devotees? You know, some are. It was very ecstatic in London. We went to the marathon party, and some of the biggest book distributors in England actually come from India. But there's all Indians there. You know, they're mostly meeting other Indians. But if you can do all this business all over the world, we should also be able to go and, you know, missionary work. Because people are really suffering. And this is our duty of every Indian. What is it? Bharati Bhumiti Manusya Janmai Hoy. Anybody know that one? It's the duty of every Indian to, you know, go out. And Prabhupada said, look what one Indian did. Him. He went, you know, by himself. And nobody ever, even in New York at that time, there was hardly any other Indians. You know, very few. Now there's so many everywhere, and they're becoming devotees everywhere. People get so, by meeting devotees. So no matter where we are, you know, it's, if you're chanting here also, we're purifying the whole world. But we can think how to get out there, you know, get these books to all over the world. That people need Krishna. All the problems of the world, that so stupid things, right? Because they've forgotten Krishna, all these wars and, you know, anxiety over bird flu, you know, that's the big news now, right? It's been for a long time, actually. I was staying somewhere once, and I would see that BBC news every once in a while, and it was just the same scene of killing chickens, you know, in Thailand. Just killing chickens, you know. Wonderful thing to see. And but whatever the problem is, whatever, in whatever way birth, death and old age are manifesting themselves, it's all due to forgetfulness of Krishna. You know, whether a hurricane is going to come, or a tsunami, or a terrorist attack, or bird flu epidemic, or crime, or whatever it is, what is the root cause is that people are irreligious. There's no jagya. They don't get any pleasure from anything. They're just trying to squeeze, you know, pleasure out of the material energy. Like you have a lemon or something and it's finished, but you keep trying to get a little more juice out of it. Or what did Prabhupada say? Like somebody was telling a man about sugar cane. And he told him it looks like bamboo, kind of. So the man went out and he found some bamboo and he was trying to chew on it and get some juice out. You know, but you won't get any juice out of the bamboo. Or the chewed up sugar cane also. You know, after it goes through the machine enough times, there's no juice left. Not sweet anymore. So this material world is like that. There's really nothing there, but they're so bewildered and cheated by Maya, and they're not getting, you know, any information of Krishna unless we give it to them. And so we're doing that, and the movement is growing, and, you know, we're like this Moscow, you're all aware that they're asking everybody to pray now because they have a court case tomorrow in Moscow, you know, about this issue. And the Indian ambassador just met the mayor of Moscow and told him so many things. So the guy kind of thought they better look it over again, he said. But we don't know what they'll come up with next. But at least it's united. Like all the Hindus of England are united now by the Moscow government to protest, you know, the harassment of Hindus. So this is Krishna's, you know, potency. And we bring this Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, you know, so many wonderful things, but it's all basically kirtan and preaching Srimad Bhagavatam to those who can, you know, understand. But no matter who it is, the biggest scholar, the biggest dacoits, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's inconceivable how this has happened. It's, even though the movement now is, you know, we're thinking old, 35, 40 years or something. I guess 40 years to this year or something, since ISKCON was established. 1966, Prabhupada registered. That so many people know about Krishna, and so many people have become devotees, and so many things are influenced by, you know, by the preaching of Bhagavad Gita. So many more people are, you know, reading Bhagavad Gita. So many swamis are going all over the world now, and India has become a tourist. I came from Germany and there was hardly any Indians on the plane. Usually it's all Indians, but now it's all Europeans for holiday. But most of them, they're not going to, we want them to meet Krishna, you know, they don't know what Krishna is. But India is attracting people. But it's all because of Srila Prabhupada's movement, and that, you know, India has become viable and Indians are able to go everywhere. But it's not, we're not Indians, we're not an Indian movement, we're not we're just a Vaishnav. Just, everyone is united in the soul, the same mantras for everyone. The same book is for everyone. We might have to translate the book into different languages, and that's being done more and more in every language. Not every language, but we have a long ways to go, actually. You know what book has been translated into the most languages? Huh? No. Bible's up there, but you know what's the most? Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse, until recently, was the most well-known personality in the world. But he's been defeated. And you know who's number one now? You know? It's not Krishna yet, but it's not Lord Chaitanya. Should be. Huh? No? Any more guesses? Ronald McDonald. You know who that is? You have McDonald's here now? I've been in other countries, there's so many McDonald's. So they have that clown, you know, sits outside and greets everybody. The best friend of every kid. Sometimes they have two or three of them out there, their murti. In Bali, he's on a surfboard because it's right next to the ocean. And the web page says that he is the foremost authority on everything. The children look it up and that's how they're teaching them. But we know that Krishna is actually, you know, he knows everything, right? Past, present, and future. Krishna is the only one that really knows everything. Krishna is the only best friend of everyone. But people are being cheated so much. These these demons are so enthusiastic and expert to, you know, bewilder people and cheat them. And this movement is, you know, the cutting edge, the leading force to push back the Kali Yuga and give people a chance to understand who they are, to understand, you know, what real life is, to experience real pleasure, spiritual pleasure. There's no pleasure in all this, you know, decorating your body, right? I don't know, I tried really hard when I was a young. I used to go so many times to the department store to buy new clothes, and then at night I would be meditating, you know, how I will dress my body tomorrow for school and how I will impress everybody. That's my fashion. And most people try that, but no one ever notices you. That, you know, everybody's worried about themselves. And it's such a big thing, decorating. So Lord Chaitanya, even then he was saying, you're spending your uselessly decorating your bodies. And your nights uselessly sleeping. Lord Chaitanya, one day he said, we're wasting the night, let's chant all night. And they did. And then you go out in the day and chant more. And that's our business. To give the world, you know, Krishna. We're making like this temple, I know it's true, but it's hard to believe if you saw this place when it first started and to see what it is now. The first time I came here on Sunday, there was about 30 people. And the place was really run down building. Everything was run down, the temple room. Of course, the devotees were blissful, but there was only a few. But then it just explodes. Now it's one of the most beautiful external, you know, everything, the people, the outside, you know, and every time you come, there's more and more things here, right? There's more buildings, more rooms, now a restaurant, and who knows what will come next. Expansions, you know, gradually take over the whole of Bombay, right? Because it's happening. Devotees are everywhere, and we put devotees in their house, and not the only Bombay, but the whole world. India is at the moment, you know, especially blessed by Lord Chaitanya, and every temple is booming. So much book distribution. One boy in Delhi sold 40,000 Bhagavad Gitas in 2 weeks. Going to businesses, some one business bought 10,000. Another boy in Punjabi Bagh sold 32,000. But there wasn't, in Prabhupada's time, and devotees are saying it's impossible to sell books in India. You know, the people already have them, and that's why he made Life Member, because they had to give donation. You just give them the books. They get, because they would say, no, we know already. But all over the world, devotees. In Moscow this year, they had one of the biggest marathons. I asked Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, how do you get the devotees so enthused? He said, we have to have the Moscow government. They made the devotees so, you know, fired up. So 200 devotees are going out in Moscow, distributing books, and everywhere people look, they would meet Hare Krishnas. So they were, you know, fighting back to, you know, protest this, the restrictions they're putting on. But everywhere, in so many remote corners of the world, but there's so many people yet they'd never heard of Hare Krishna. They don't know what, you know, what a Hare Krishna, what a devotee is. They don't know what God is. They don't know who they are. But if they can just somehow hear the holy name, they can somehow or other even see a devotee, even see Tilak, they get so much benefit, inconceivable benefit. But to speak, if they get the Bhagavad Gita, even if they don't read it, they get so much benefit. Now we want to sell more and more sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. If anybody here doesn't have, they should get one today. Everyone should have this. Prabhupada said we want every gentleman you know, called to have the entire Srimad Bhagavatam in their home and the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many have that in their home? Raise your hand. How many have the Srimad Bhagavatam set? Many. Good. How many have Chaitanya Charitamrita? How many read it? It's okay. I mean, when I met the rabbi in Israel from the Kabbalah. Kabbalah is a kind of the, in Judaism, it's like Lord Chaitanya is to Hinduism or something, and so they break the rules. In Orthodox Judaism, you're not supposed to distribute this in the knowledge so much. It's only for the advanced rabbis or something. But the Kabbalah, they decided, and actually it's interesting, it was right at the same time as Lord Chaitanya, some guy decided that now is the time to teach everybody, we don't care. So they have a set of books, that's a big box, like 30 books, called the Zohar. And so when I met him, he said, I have a present for you, and he gave me this big box of books, and I don't know what language it was in. It wasn't in English, it was in Aramaic or something. Maybe Hebrew, I don't know. He said, but you don't have to read this. If you just have it, you know, it's got power and it will help you. So, and I was thinking, that's what we say also. I was distributing books in Greece one time. I met a very nice young boy. He was a rock singer. And he said, the Greek people are very nice. And they love to meet people and talk. And he said, I'll just tell you, I don't read books. I said, that's all right. This book is perfect for you then. You don't have to read it. You just have it in your house and it's good for you. He said, okay. Took it right away. And somebody will read it, you know, eventually. That's why we put a lot of pictures in the book so that, you know, you look through them and at least, you know, read the captions or something. But it's important. We want to read them. Prabhupada, many times, you know, that one Mataji in the, a long time ago in Los Angeles, she was distributing many, many books, Isha Upanishad. So Prabhupada was going off in the car and she said, Prabhupada, we're distributing so many. How many? She gave the number. He looked at her and said, why don't you read my books? And another devotee was distributing so many books, like revolutionary at the time. And so the BBT manager wrote, told Prabhupada, this boy is distributing so many books. He wrote back, that boy should read my books. So we should read them. But having them is a good start. You know, because without having them, it's hard to read them, right? Like sometimes people say, well, I won't read it. That's okay, but definitely they won't read the book if they don't have it, right? So that's why we distribute. We want them in every house, as many as possible. The more they have, the more chance there is to think about them. And somebody will read it. If you don't read it, somebody will. In Africa, one man, a very nice man, an Indian consulate there, and he's been very favorable. So I said, give him the books. We had a lot of books in that French language. So they gave him just four Bhagavatams in fourth canto. And then he found that the African, you know, because he's a consulate, so different government people visit him. They would say, what is that book? Looks interesting. And he ended up buying so many and giving it. And then now these guys are asking what comes next. Because they read it. You never know. It's so wonderful. So please read, you know, if you want to know. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of nectar, all of Chaitanya's leelas. From childhood, you know, from birth. You can go to Mayapur and you can visit all these places. You can see the... we have that, you know, picture museum there with all the, so many leelas. And then I saw now at the Chaitanya Mutt, they have one also, Lord Chaitanya Museum. Very beautiful. They have beautiful dioramas of so many Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So then we, if we get a guide, we can find out what they all are. You know, all the wonderful things he did. But he culminated everything from birth. He was making everyone chant. As a baby, he would cry, and he would never stop crying unless they had chanting. All the ladies had to chant and dance and entertain him. Then he would be happy. If they stopped chanting and dancing again, he'd be crying. Sometimes he wouldn't stop anyway. So they would dance more and more. Can't imagine, you know, even an ordinary baby can cry so loud, right? So how loud could Lord Chaitanya cry? And everybody went, and, you know, he would make everybody chant. But then later, when he started the Sankirtan movement, then it really came out, and it's still going on. And now it's actually flooding the world. You can, anywhere you go practically, you know, some people know about Hare Krishna. They may not know what it is, but, you know, they know something. But not enough. So we want to all think how to, you know, get more and more people to chant, because it, sound vibration is entering the ether and it's going all over the planet and it's purifying everyone. The ether is so contaminated with all the music and the news broadcasts and all these, you know, television energies and radios and everything, and it's like zapping everybody's brain dead. But the chanting is purifying that. It's going into the ether also, and it affects people positively. And if they can actually hear the holy name. But if we're chanting, even a big group on the street, you can't hear it very far away. But the books, they go everywhere. That's a big mridanga. And then people remember. We go now and America, and even in London, you know, people are saying, oh, I didn't know there was any more Hare Krishnas. Haven't seen you for so long. If you go looking like this, you know, because for whatever reason, devotees are not displaying themselves as much as we used to. In America in the 70s, we were really famous because there was so much Harinam, especially in New York and Los Angeles. Huge numbers of devotees out all day long chanting. So everybody knew Hare Krishna. They were famous. And then we were distributing books in the airports. And it was interesting. We never... Well, in the very beginning, they went in the airport dressed in a dhoti, but it wasn't very effective because the envious demons would spot us from far away and then, you know, try to stop everything. So they had to hide. But one, you know, the airports, how they have all the advertising in the airports... So there's always a sign like, you know, airport advertising, call this number. So they had one, and it had a picture of a, not exactly, but looked like a Hare Krishna, shaved head and a robe. And it said, airport advertising works. Because devotees were so famous for distributing books, everybody knew about them. So they caught up on us like that. In London, one time, there's a big one of the biggest department stores. I forget the name of it. It's a very expensive one. Everything they have is super expensive. And so they did a survey of what, you know, is the thing about London that you really think of London. And somehow the number one thing was the Hare Krishnas, the Hare Nam. So this... They came to the temple and they got a bunch of devotees and they lined them up in front of this department store and they took a picture. And they put huge posters all over London in the subway stations and everything. You come out and it said, welcome to London, such and such department store. And it was a big, you know, all the devotees. The devotees still have that picture at the temple, but it's not all over the city anymore. But it has a big effect on people. People, you know, they go crazy. They just can't believe such a thing as the ecstatic, you know, energy of the devotees. Even a small party, but in London on Saturday night, there's maybe at least 50 devotees go, sometimes 100. If Radhana Swami's there or something, maybe 200 go. And the people are, they're just stunned. They go wild, you know, there's cameras everywhere and people are joining and want to get their picture with the devotees. You know, it echoes all over the area. And then those people never forget that such a thing that they never imagine. But even if they see only a few devotees chanting, they never forget that. One boy goes in London every day, no matter what. He goes like 3 times, even by himself. And I went with him one day, and there was a homeless guy. And when we passed him, he said, you know, you're late. He's waiting for the... usually come like a half hour before or something. So it's such a wonderful thing that we're able to join in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes like this. Go in to everyone and just beg them, please chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's what he told Lord Nityananda, Bolo Krishna, Bhaji Krishna, Koto Krishna, Shiksha. He was just begging everyone, I don't ask for anything else but just chant Hare Krishna. And some people did, some people chased him away. Some people blasphemed the devotees and they said that the Vaishnavas are just making trouble for everyone. When they were chanting all night at Srivas's house, the envious people were saying those Vaishnavas, they don't work, so they don't have enough food to eat. So they're feeling pain in their stomach, so they just howl all night, they make all that noise, you know, because of the suffering of hunger. And some were saying they're just doing, you know, it's a drunken orgies, that they're worshipping some demigoddess, that there's some demigoddess if you worship, you can get lots of beautiful heavenly girls to come. And they were accusing them of so many things. Envious. And other people would say, I think it might be nice, I'd like to join them. They get out of here, the rascals, you know, just one of them. And they were saying, we're going to call the king and we're going to drag Srivas's house into the Ganga and kill him. He's making so much trouble. And still this goes on some places. But Lord Chaitanya always protects the devotees and everything just increases. This is one of the prime examples of how everything increases in Moscow. Shamasundar might have told you how the first time they went to Moscow.
Right? Told him many times.
You know, how many days?
3 days?
5 days. And Prabhupada only talked to one Russian, except that professor. And that boy went out and made many, many devotees. And now there's, you know, now that even though the Russian church is scared to death of the Hare Krishna. You know, and there's a lot of devotees there, but, you know, compared to the whole population and compared to the Muslim or something, it's a nothing. You know, but they're scared. They're so afraid that if the Hare Krishnas have a temple, it'll ruin the whole country. Because they think, you know, so many people are joining anyway without a temple. You know, just so many people becoming devotees. Indra Maharaj is saying in Poland, you know, there's something like, you know, 100 devotees or something that are active. And the Catholic Church is just wildly trying to stop them, you know, they're fearful. Not everybody, but many. They're just constantly trying to stop the festivals and stop the devotees. Why are they afraid of such a small group of people? Right? But the truth, you know, the light hurts the eyes of the ignorant people, and the bright light of knowledge, the ecstasy of the devotees, they know that, you know, that they're cheating people, that, you know, and they don't want the truth, but they can't stop Lord Chaitanya's movement, can't stop Lord Nrisingadev from, you know, right, driving away the demons in our own heart also. can't stop devotees from people from coming here to Radha Gopinath. There's one Mataji she's from Bombay. I met in Nigeria in Port Harcourt. You probably know her. Her name is Aparna, and her husband is Umesh. So she was high society. She's really degraded, I guess. And her father-in-law was saying, my daughter-in-law, how she was. She was completely against everything. She didn't want any religion. But she met Radhana Swami. Somehow her friend dragged her to some place, and she just flipped out. And she's just fanatic devotee now. Really fanatic. Just by meeting, one devotee. And so many people. Everybody must have that kind of story. All of us. The first time I remember it. The first time I saw Harinam, I didn't really register. I saw it, but the second time was just one devotee dancing like crazy, and I was immediately convinced that this is it. This is what I'm looking for. I've been looking all over the world for this. And the same day I saw another devotee. Then I was more convinced because he had a completely different style. And that, just one devotee chanting. What to speak of when they see, like, yesterday you had many out, right? Even in Bombay needs to be waked up also. People are, so many people in Bombay are just wasting they have so much money and they just spend it all for weddings and, right? That one Indian guy, the steel guy, he bought a house in London, £73 million. The most expensive house in the world. We wanted to build a temple in Mayapur, £40 million. We can't imagine how to get the money. And one guy can buy a house, but could build three. No, there was $40 million. There's $20 million. Could build like five, just with his house. Could build. But they need to be waked up. We need the Bhagavatam everywhere. We need prasadam everywhere. It's sneaking around in Japan. You might have read there's one devotee in New York. He was expert at donuts. So he actually started just with a bicycle, and he makes these really good donuts. And he became a quite big business. He's all vegetarian. He offers everything to Krishna. So some Japanese businessman was attracted, so he bought a franchise. And he made him, he has to make sure to keep the vegetarian and all the... And they have Lord Jagannath in the kitchen. And the workers say, this is the god of the donuts. And they offer to Jagannath the donuts. And it's huge. The man is a big, really smart businessman. He has a lot of money. So he got a place in the best part of Tokyo. And now he's got something like 5 outlets in big department stores and other restaurants. And these, for what it's worth, they're offered to George Jagannath. The people aren't devotees, but they follow, they do it. So in Japan, we have to really go in like a needle, you can't. But even the Govinda's restaurant is becoming more and more popular. All over the world, somehow or other, devotees are becoming, people know more and more about Krishna. They see devotees in the movies. They see devotees, when they tourists go to London or they go to Los Angeles or they go to somewhere, they see devotees. And then they never forget. They get books, they get, they get prasadam, they get the holy name, most important. So here we have everything. There's no more, sometimes devotees ask for mercy. But what is there more? That if you have the holy name and you have a chance to serve Krishna, you have the association of devotees, what more mercy can you get? Right? All you can do is give it. I looked up mercy. Someone was asking me and I looked it up in the Veda base, and mostly it talks about giving mercy. Be merciful. It's the quality of a devotee, not just trying to get it all for yourself. Give it. You got it already. You got unlimited. But what more can you possibly have? can come here, we can, you know, associate with millions of devotees. You can go anywhere in the world and find devotees, have a family wherever you go, and Krishna takes care of everyone. So what do we do now? Is it supposed to, huh? Questions and answers? All right. Hey, there I am. TV star. Yeah. Who has questions? How do you do it? You have a microphone, you write them down.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah.
Wonderful class. You have talked so high about India and Indians doing so many wonderful things. But my question is twofold. Although the question will be only one, that though we are doing so wonderful business, people do one business, take care of family, but not serious for the spiritual life, in the sense that even devotees for 20, 30 years, if you ask whether we can chant our rounds without any, seriously, how, my question is actually only one, that how we can chant, because when we are chanting, the minds are going somewhere else, and still we say, we are chanting, I have completed 16 rounds. So how we can chant our round properly?
Hare Krishna. We have to try. Wherever the mind wanders, Krishna says to pull it back, you know, under the control of the self. So there's techniques. Actually, one devotee's written a book about how the brain works, and, you know, in relation to chanting, and has a whole seminars. So we have to study. It's not a 2-hour thing, chanting. It's a 24-hour thing. Right? You know, we have to make, you know, effort to pray to Krishna for the, and try to be attentive, and, you know, we have to study for us, you know, read about Krishna, talk about Krishna, join in more kirtans, so many ways. But if we're trying, then Krishna will give us credit anyway. If we're actually really trying, you know, to chant attentively, that's the secret, free from offense. So we have to serve the devotees and, you know, follow the order of the spiritual master, all those things, and do everything, and just keep trying. And at the time of death, if we've been trying, Krishna will enter and make sure everything is all right. Lord Chaitanya, he said, Nam nam akari bahuda nijisarva shakti tacharpita niyamata smarnena kalaha itadasi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idisham ihajani nanurajaha. So he was saying at the end, and the way Prabhupada translated was, I'm offensive while I chant, so I'm not getting the full benefit, full taste. But Trinadapi Sunichena Tadorapi Sishana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. We have to remember these things, and I'm not very good at chanting, but I think sometimes I'm pretty good at pronouncing the syllables, but as far as really, but that's all we have to do actually. If we can just really hear the holy name all the time perfectly, and just absorb ourselves in the holy name. It takes practice. You know, we've been fallen for millions of lifetimes, but we got the mercy to keep trying by the association of devotees. Like here is a very, you know, intense japa period in the morning. Everyone stays in the temple, looking at each other, you know, checking on how everybody's doing. But, and we can study the Harinam Chintamani and the Madhurya Kadambinini and so many books, anything, Krishna, you know, chant in a humble state of mind, honoring everyone and not expecting anything in return. Kirtaniya Sadahari, then we can chant all the time. So that's stressed constantly. Trinadapi Sini Trinata. Tolerant like a tree. Maybe here we don't realize how tolerant trees are. Right? I was in Germany in January, and the farm, which is in Bavaria, you know, it snowed really heavy. Like, so the trees are just broken down by this snow on top of them, you know, and all they're frozen, all their leaves fall off, and they're just bent over like anything, and they can't do anything. They just have to tolerate it. Big ice, then sometimes it melts a little bit, then there's this huge ice hanging down and just breaking. Sometimes the branches just break right off. But they just tolerate it. They can't move, they can't complain. So they're glorified. And then when it gets hot, they can't do anything either. They can't go inside, no air condition. They just get cooked. People chop their branches off and break their branches off. Bugs crawl under their skin. So this tolerance, patience, all these things, and offering respect to everyone and not expecting anything in return, very difficult to give up the false ego. So we look for devotees that are chanting, that we find that are chanting better, try to associate with them, chant with them, serve them, and then Krishna will always help us and pray for the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sounds pretty good. And preaching is, you know, when we go out and preach and give the holy name to others, that's more beneficial. We need to do our japa, private, you know, meditation. But when we then also we want to go out and share with as many people as possible, that pleases Lord Chaitanya, then he'll give us more, give us the holy name more and more. The more we give it, the more we get. Is that all right? Any objection? Yeah.
You know, in my own experience, and I'm still trying to chant Hare Krishna nicely for like probably the first time in my life, and I don't know if my own experience, which I'll share with you, is a realization. I'm also kind of waiting for my first realization in Krishna consciousness. But in my own experience about chanting, I'm not very good at chanting. You know, I'm one of those nish nish ram ram guys, you know. I don't chant very nicely. But about 2 years ago, I had a realization. And it seems to work for me. It's very simple. And because it's very primary. Everything that we do, we offer to Krishna. And by offering everything to Krishna, we know it's purified. We know it's perfect. That way we're protected, no matter what it is. So for myself, my prayer is always... And then also, Prabhupada said, you know, you chant like you're like a baby crying out for his mother. Well, man, I chanted for like 25 years for that, you know, and I was still crying for my mother. And I was getting not much taste. But then I had this realization, or I had this experience in my chanting, and it's been very, for me, it's somewhat satisfying, and I'll share it, and maybe it might be somewhat satisfying for one of you. And it's very simple. Because for me, I've come to realize that if I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I've already gotten more nectar than I can possibly ask for still. That I know. So really, in my prayer and in my practice of chanting Hare Krishna, one thing for sure that was really a part of this, I completely slowed down on my chanting. You know, I mean, I absolutely, my schedule, of course, I don't do anything in my life, so I have a lot of time to chant Hare Krishna. So I try to be very, very mindful to listen to every syllable. That, for me, that was a big step forward. Every syllable for me, because I know Krishna is the holy name, and if Krishna is there, there's no need to like hurry up and get your rounds done. It's like Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, you go one round, okay. You know, you zip through your rounds. Well, like, for me, that wasn't, I wasn't getting any juice for like, you know, I'm not talking about a couple months, I'm talking like a couple of decades. So I thought, you know, I better like, I got to refile the program here. So that was a first step. I like slowed down a little bit. And then I came to thought, well, you know, because Krishna's already given me everything. I don't feel that I should actually ask for anything, like, you know, give me the mercy of the holy name. I know I already have it. I just am not tasting it. And I'm still not tasting it. But another factor, it's kind of a twofold experience for me, that, and this has been a new thing, like in the last couple of years. Every mantra, every sound in my mind, I offer it like a flower to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani or Krishna. Every mantra. Because when you offer something to Krishna, you're out of the picture. You know, it's not like you're, you know, it's prasad. Even coming from a pig like me, it's prasad. That's the mercy of the Lord. Krishna will accept anything offered in love. Now, another thing, many devotees think, oh, I'll chant Hare Krishna and I'll become purified. And then when I had this thought, when I had started to have this experience, I kind of had a couple week period. I'd ask devotees, why are you chanting Hare Krishna? And most of them would say, well, I told my guru I chant Hare Krishna. You know, I'm supposed to chant Hare Krishna. And many devotees didn't tell me what I was beginning to experience. It was really like it was revolutionary in my chanting. You chant only, like we do everything else. You chant only for the Lord's pleasure. Whether you chant badly, and when you chant slow, no, who in this room, especially in Chapati Mandir, among this wonderful Vaishnavas assembly, these devotees in Chapati, well, you know, you're all wonderful devotees, you've been trained very properly. You know about pleasing Krishna. You do everything to please Krishna. So in the same way, with every, this is my, you know, it's not a realization, it's an experience I've had. It's helped my chanting, and it's, again, I'm not very good at chanting. But it changed for like day and night from my individual chanting. Every mantra is good, you know. If you're going to go to the altar and you're going to offer something right on the altar to the Lord, you're going to try to make it as nice as possible. I know everybody in this room knows that, embraces that in everything they do. So include that in every mantra of the holy name. None of you have to chant for your own purification. You're already completely purified. You know, you're within a couple years of going back to Godhead, every one of you. So forget worrying about yourself. You're already home. Chant the mantra for the Lord's pleasure. Every mantra, every syllable. Don't be in any hurry. And I know you all work very hard. Probably, you know, probably many of you, you have to get your rounds done in a certain period of time. I promise you. Say, for example, if you're used to chanting your rounds in 2 hours, force yourself to take 3 hours, meaning force yourself to hear every syllable. Why? Only for one reason. Because Srimata Radharani loves to hear the name of Krishna. She loves it. She loves it. Only for her pleasure you're chanting Hare Krishna, or for Krishna's. And Krishna loves it if you're pleasing Radharani. So it's a win-win all the way around. It's a win-win. For me, again, believe me, as I say, I'm still waiting for my first realization in Krishna consciousness. It wasn't really a realization, but it was something, you know, it was something that from my own, like, neophyte practice, I immediately started to get some juice. I mean, immediately. Immediately when I slowed down on my japa, when I started to take, like, instead of 7 minutes per round, I took 11 minutes per round. Okay, so that's 4 minutes per round times 16. So we're talking, like, an additional, what, 45 or 50 minutes? As busy as you are, I promise you, if you take an extra 50 minutes per day to chant your 16 rounds and hear every syllable, you're going to get so much juice immediately. That day, you'll get that juice. Don't be in any hurry. Don't be like me. I'm a nish nish ram ram kind of guy. I don't chant Hare Krishna very nicely. But when I slowed down, that was a big first step. And then I thought, when I had the time, when I realized, okay, I don't have to, then the next realization came is, okay, since I got the time, I'm not doing anything anyhow, and I have this time, and I'm getting this. This nectar was, it knocked me over, like right out of my chair, you know. This nectar I was getting immediately. I mean, it didn't take a week. It took like the first 16 rounds. I thought, man, that was really, you know, I was pumped to the max, you know. So on that first day, I thought, okay, hey, I'm onto something here. I'm onto something substantial, at least for me. And I mean, it was like, it was revolutionary because I'm still waiting for something revolutionary in my devotional life. I'm a muddha, I'm a neophyte. But this really helped me. So when I got that juice of just slowing down, then I realized, okay, I'm like in slow gear. You know, I'm not in any hurry. So then again, Krishna gave me a little nectar. Every syllable, I offer it like we offer flowers here in the morning. You offer every syllable, you offer it directly to the lotus feet of the Lord. So I don't know, again, I hope that would help, you know. Hey, what's the harm in trying? Give it a shot. Hare Krishna.
All right. And Tulsi also likes very much to hear the holy name. Lord Chaitanya would always chant for Tulsi. Always. Why? Because it's pleasing. That's a very good point. We're offering everything to Krishna. Krishna's in our heart. Krishna's here. And anyway, there's so much nectar in the holy name, no one can know. Right? Lord Chaitanya, or Rupa Goswami said, no one can know how much nectar there is in these two syllables. Krishna. So that's a good point. I say, like kirtan, everybody always, if you're leading kirtan, you'll pronounce everything very carefully, right? You never hear Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare, you know. But japa, if we think I have to finish, it's actually an offense. We should think I have to hear this syllable. You know, I have to hear this mantra, but not even mantra, every syllable is Krishna. And if we can really get to that point, practice that. Not that I have to finish my rounds and then I'm finished chanting for the day now. Then we can start chanting. But Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And we only want Krishna. That would be great. Like a baby, they only want their mother. So. Very good point. Thank you. Does that help you? Yeah. Yeah.
Again, as I was having this, the beginning experience of trying to slow down, in my own habit, I kind of forced myself. If I had a moment where I was inattentive on one syllable in my mala, instead of going forward, I backed up two. You know, because it just was a habit. And that helped me to like, okay, you know, if I don't start like at least paying attention, you know, this is going to be a 20-minute round if I don't pull my act together here. And honestly, I had many days of 20-minute rounds. Because, you know, I kept like losing my attention and I'd go forward and back to, but back forward and back to. I'd be chanting like 5 minutes and I chanted like five beads, you know. For me, that helped also in that slowing down process. Very simple. You know, it's like a regulation, just you and your mind and your bead bag. You know, if you miss one mantra, you got to go back to. You got to like go back to 0.0 minus one, you know. Anyway, give that a try. Work for me.
All right, techniques. Is that more question? Mahaprabhu, you said finish. Someone else? Earplugs also are very helpful. Very helpful. Especially in the, you know, because when you have earplugs, you hear what you say very clearly.
Hare Krishna.
Then you know if you're pronouncing or not, you know, and then the other noises are nullified. So very effective. It's also recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Put cotton in your ears, but now we have all kinds of, you know, right, silicone special one, but very helpful. And then we can chant not so loud, but can hear very loudly. And so.
Hare Krishna. It is wonderful to see you here and hear your this wonderful discourse. I do consider myself is so fortunate to hear this wonderful discourse. Swamiji, you rightly mentioned that many Indian businessmen going around the world and conquering the world. But what your vision about India has? India set a vision by 2020, it will be one of the superpower in the world. But what about the spirituality in coming years? And by if you see that by 2020, and when we will demolish these boundaries between the countries and really we conquer the world and establish Vasudeva Kudumbam. Hare Krishna.
Well, the reason I always thought that Indians are going all over the world is, you know, they know about Krishna and they're helping also, even if they're not exactly preaching, but they're always helping our temples and the movement is spreading. It's Kali Yuga, and we can't give exact timings what's going to happen, but it is happening that, you know, that more and more people everywhere are taking seriously to Krishna consciousness. And the more we individually take it seriously and try to give it to others, and that also, the more we give the holy name also, you give to Krishna and we give to everyone we meet, Krishna's in everyone's heart. So, you know, the more we do that, then everything will get better and better. And Kali Yuga gets more and more pushed back. And the golden age of Lord Chaitanya is coming on more and more and more, actually. In so many ways, if you examine in that light, you'll see how the Sankirtan movement is influencing the world in so many ways. I even saw now, you know, the Christians, so-called Christians in different... Previously, they were, most of them, many, you know, against vegetarianism. Right? Now, if you look, you can look up ChristianVeg.com. It's a whole movement now of Christian vegetarians. And they're practically saying right out of Bhagavad Gita that every living entity is, you know, can suffer. And the best way that Jesus was kind to everyone. And the best way to promote Christianity is to preach nonviolence and not hurt the animals and, you know, all these things. And, of course, they have different ways of looking at it. Some were saying that, you know, they were alienating vegetarians because the church wasn't favorable, so people would leave. But so many people are being influenced. Muslim vegetarian, there's another, IslamVeg.com. JewishVeg.com, they're all there, the big movements. But obviously that, you know, it all comes from the Hare Krishnas. It's a, not complete, but they're being influenced in so many, many things. So you take it, you know, as much as we get out and do it, you know, as much as we chant, we really try and, you know, like you said, if you space out, chant more. You know, just say, well, psh, you know, right? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. One time I was staying at one man's house and he said he chanted 16 rounds. So in the morning he did some puja and I was chanting. So after 90 minutes, he started chanting. So after 2 hours, I was finished, and he said, I've done my 16 rounds. I said, really? How did you do that? He said, how do you chant? He said, like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I said, well, our spiritual master, because he said, no, this is the way I do it. But at least he was chanting, you know, but... We want to be very attentive. This is what he's saying. It's a very good point. Like this devotee who made this whole seminar, he's got many, many things, but he said, you know, just try to chant like, you know, instead of thinking I've got to do 16 rounds and I don't have time, just try to chant like 12 mantras, really concentrate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And then, you know, that seems pretty easy, but then you get, it becomes a habit. The more we try to concentrate, even, and then ultimately we'll just want that one syllable. Every syllable is Krishna. And we're offering to, you know, to the world, to Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna, to Prabhupada, very happy to hear us chanting. Tulsi's very happy. All the devotees are happy. All right? I don't know if I answered your question. Time to stop. Could... Yeah. You go, of course. Of course you can have kirtan. You can have kirtan immediately. That's the answer to all questions. Right? Ultimate answer to all the questions is kirtan. If you're chanting, your life is perfect. What, you know, if you die and you're chanting, what happens? Immediately go back to Krishna. So that if there's any more questions, when are we going to start chanting? Is that the question? Huh? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Swamiji.
Yeah.
I have two different questions. Both are equally important to me. Very short questions. Is it okay to read several books simultaneously? I have Srivat Bhagavatam. I have many books at home.
Yeah.
Some of them I have kept at my office. I am reading Srimad Bhagavatam. I read it once, but not with 110% concentration, with only 100% concentration. I mean to say that I did not read the Sanskrit shlokas because I don't understand Sanskrit.
Yeah.
I read only the remaining part. Now I am trying to understand the Sanskrit shlokas also. So without reading Srimad Bhagavatam once again, is it okay to go to Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Yes. I told you, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you cannot understand Bhagavatam unless you read Chaitanya Charitamrita first. There's a confusion on that because Prabhupada says Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate study. So some people think that's like a material postgraduate study that you have to graduate first before you can go there. But we have the elevator, you know, that we don't have to climb the stairs. They have the elevator, the rocket ship to Krishna. So you can take the postgraduate study right away. That's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And then from Lord Chaitanya, he's preaching Srimad Bhagavatam so perfectly that, you know, by reading what he's preaching and reading about his life, then it comes to life.
Exactly the same way I was thinking till yesterday night, because today in today's morning lecture, we were informed that we can read simultaneously.
Yeah, you can read. When the Chaitanya Charitamrita first was published, actually Prabhupada was somewhere, I think, 7th canto translating, and the production was behind, and he stopped all work on the Srimad Bhagavatam for 1 year. He just finished the Chaitanya Charitamrita translating. And then he made a huge push to get it published immediately in 2 months, 13 books. And just previous to that, the book publishers were very proud of themselves that they were able to make a new book, one book every 2 months. Prabhupada said, you have to push 17 books in 2 months. And they did it. So this was about 1975, something like that. And... So in Vrindavan, and someone asked Prabhupada, and, you know, can we give Chaitanya Charitamrita to the Karmis, you know, distribution? Oh, yes, he said. Of course, why not? Whatever you like, read it. He said, it's all wonderful. It's all Krishna. Whatever they're attracted to, let them read it. The one time when we first distributed Chaitanya Charitamrita, I met, I don't know where it was, the airport or something, one drunken, crazy guy, you know. He said, yeah, I know that Chaitanya. Yeah, he's got the three parts, the beginning and the middle and the end, and, you know, like... Lord Chaitanya is especially merciful, you know, and Lord Nityananda, that how else are we going to know Krishna? Only by his grace. All right? So everybody, please read. That's why you all like to come here, and every Radhana Swami charmed the whole world, because he gives everybody all this Chaitanya Leela. That's what we all want. That's what we need. Can relate to it. You know, and Prabhupada's Leela also, you know, very important to read the Prabhupada Leela Amrita. And it's very easy, and you can relate to it. He's in Bombay, he's in New York, he's in Delhi. You know, you can relate to the things that's happening. Krishna Leela is a little like, you know, wow, come on, you know. You really believe that? Many people will think like. But Prabhupada's Leela, we know, okay, Bombay, we know about it. And we know all these places. He even spoke right here at this, what is this place called? The Gita. Huh? Yeah. And so, you know, very important to read the Prabhupada Leela and, you know, really understand Srimad Bhagavatam, because he's the person Bhagavat for the modern time. And now we have all these DVD and movies, and you can listen, but you can see, and, you know, how the movement is spreading. And all these things are important. Bhagavad Gita, Ishopanishad, everything is nectar. But keep something, whatever attracts you and whatever can make that you can remember, go for it. Don't think, no, I can't do this and until I read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam and memorize it or something, you know, because you don't have to do that. We should read everything again and again. Just keep hearing and chanting and reading and you don't have to read the Sanskrit, but it's very purifying because that's the original language. You don't have to understand Sanskrit, but we can recite it. We can read it. All right?
My second question, Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
No.
My second question is it possible to reduce the intensity of Kali outside the temple? And if yes, how?
Is what? Outside?
The temple. Is it possible to reduce the intensity of Kali
yeah.
Yoga?
Yeah.
And I hope with the Krishna consciousness there is some hope, but how?
Yeah, well, it's happening everywhere. By going out, the temple is wherever we're chanting the holy name, wherever the holy name is being chanted. So go everywhere. So many homes, Kali has been kicked out, right? All over the world. So many hearts, Kali has been kicked out. Because devotees go and preach, and then more and more and more places. Devotees are coming from, you know, Muslim countries, and they have more devotees there than anywhere else practically. Devotees are coming from, you know, everywhere. And Kali is being kicked out everywhere. That's what we're here for. To move the temple is everywhere. So you come here. Then you go home, you make your house a temple, you try to, you know, enliven everybody, give them books. Yes. Get rid of the guy. Right? He's afraid. And at the moment, Kali's in a big panic because the Sankirtan movement is coming and he's trying his best to stop it, to keep everyone in the dark and bewilder them that, you know, need to decorate your body more. Right? And that people are strictly following the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam says that in Kali Yuga, beauty will be judged by hair. So I don't know here, but many countries in America, for sure, that it's called the beauty shop, the hair cutting place. You can go and get some beauty. Or in Japan, they change the color of their hair constantly. Every time I go there, everybody has different color hair. You know, different idea. They're able to manipulate the people so much. But many people are becoming immunized and, you know, by the holy name, by eating prasadam. You can give prasadam, make a business. Prasadam, you know, give it. Everybody's eating everywhere, right? And now there's so many more health consciousness all over the world and, you know, many, many things. But Kali is trying his hardest to, you know, through the news media, through the movies, television, all these things, you know, to keep everybody under his control. He definitely controls all this advertising industry, you know. right? How many cigarette hoardings are there in Bombay? Anybody know? I asked before, somebody should call that Will's Tobacco, you know, and try to find out how much money they spend advertising in Bombay. How much, inconceivable amount of money, must, right? How much does one hoarding cost? This big one out here that covers four lanes of the highway on the bridge, you know, made for each other. Ah, you know. And everywhere you look, there's another one, a small one, a big one, you know, behind one. And Prabhupada once, he saw the Coca-Cola signs. And he said, you should write the Coca-Cola company and tell them to change the name of Coca-Cola to Hare Krishna. Then the people would be reading, enjoy Hare Krishna. Right? The Coca-Cola, they have many mottos all over the world. You know, enjoy Hare Krishna, enjoy Coca-Cola. Coke, it's the real thing. You know, things go better with Coke. So you say, and then they'll say, things go better with Krishna. They can keep the same drink, he said. But so he was telling us we should also have big signboards, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Right? You got to find the ways to get reach out to the people, just like these karmis do, the advertising. But they're only advertising in fashion and clothes and houses and cars and, you know, motorcycles. All right? Is that all right? So go wherever you go, just, you know, keep your tilak, tell everyone chant Hare Krishna, you're chasing Kali away. He's on the run. So kirtan, right? Huh? You want kirtan? Who leads kirtan? John? You got all the kirtan here, huh? Okay. Shri Radha Gopinath, Shri Gaur Nittai, Lalita Vishnu.